Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
When we get to MJ-12, and you mentioned very briefly that it is, of course, controversial, the actual documents that were received on film, they're very clearly faked. Doesn't mean there wasn't an agency like that, but they're clearly faked, and we can think of some people who may have been responsible, and certainly William Moore, one of the authors of the original Roswell book, admitted to being involved in Air Force disinformation. We've got Rick Doty, of course, the infamous Rick Doty, and maybe he was involved. You make a suggestion here that whatever it is, there may have been some organization within the government that handled that particular purpose. But the question I would ask, and we have no answers, of course, is if there is an MJ-12-like organization to monitor the situation with Roswell and other incidents, and it's made up of this key group of people, if you want to keep it a secret, keep it a secret. What point is served by coming out with a faked document about it? It doesn't divert attention. It just makes people curious.
Well, Stanton Friedman was a firm believer that some of the MJ-12 documents were genuine and some of them weren't. And it's a pretty standard government tactic to mix real information in with disinformation. In the film, we point out the story of Majestic 12 briefly, but we also make it clear that's debatable. Rather, that was an actual group that did that actual work. But it's also a pretty logical assumption that a similar group with a similar charter would have had to have been convened in the event of something. And we also point out in the film something that very few people know about, and that is that the Army had a program at during the time when the Air Force was being born, World War II was over. These guys were pretty busy, but they found the resources to put together the Interplanetary Research Unit of the blah 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 blah. And it's like the question we pose in the film is, well, why did they need that? You know, as busy as they were, why would they be forming a group like that? And then what happened to the records? They say that the records got folded into Project Blue Book, but they're not there. And we know this group existed. So why in the time around Roswell, if there was nothing to it, was this group formed? And could it be that the people in this group were the actual Majestic 12 type of group, or are they one and the same? All we're saying in the film is that it makes sense that they would have convened a group to manage this, and that group would have had limited accountability. And if that group has evolved, they're at the point now where they have no accountability. They just get all kinds of black budget money.
Let's go back a little bit there. Earlier in the show, you talk about the Blue Room, and not everybody who listens to the show is up on all this stuff. Would you give us some more background? We don't want to have spoilers in this film, of course, but more background on the Blue Room.
Well, there's long been a legend that at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, there's a room that has, storage of anything from crash debris to technology to possibly even bodies, and that the nickname for that room is the Blue Room. And there's some reason for that. I think blue is an indication of classified stuff in some government circles. But anyway, the room's been rumored to exist for a long time. And Barry Goldwater actually got wind of this, and he went and tried to find out. And he talked to Curtis LeMay, who was his friend, and was told it very angrily, don't ever ask that again. And so the question that we've tried to figure out in the film is, and there's a story that the Blue Room was filmed, but nobody's ever been able to confirm it. But there was a set of Freedom of Information Act requests about it that basically went around and around in circles until finally somebody referred the person who requested it originally to a media department for the Air Force, and they had the record of the Blue Room film shot at Wright-Patterson, and it was called Project Blue Room. And the film that was documented as being destroyed but we were able to suss out that that film actually did exist, and so that that story is probably true. The contents of the blue room, who knows? But was there a blue room, and was it filmed? Yeah, it looks that way.
Someone was asking you before about the government producing anything. I hope there's some transparency, but even if they find it out, I don't know that they're capable of interpreting it, presenting it. So I'm hoping that UFO researchers are not going to slack off because the government is supposedly on the job. So do you see scientists taking a more serious look into the topic, and do you think anything that might come from them rather than the government?
Obviously that's happening. Unfortunately, the secret group, who really is, I don't even think it's the government anymore. It's private industry that's basically practically the mafioso when it comes to this information. They're the people that, because we can sit here and we can find all kinds of anecdotal evidence, but can we open the safe and take the piece of a flying saucer to Fox News or CNN? No. And are the people that could do that going to? Highly unlikely. That's why we're being told this new narrative. It's a new story for humanity. And at some point, we've got... People will ask me all the time, they're like, well, why do you think they're willing to be a little more open about it now? Well, A, they're not being that much more open about it. They're telling us the same story. But the other thing is that we've got Webb Telescope. We've got commercial space flight. We've got Elon Musk on his way to Mars. At some point, there's going to be incontrovertible evidence that comes out into the public domain that government cannot get itself wrapped around and sequester. And so they're balancing the fact that they need to be completely without accountability for any of the past secrecy and for any of the past discoveries and for any of the potential crimes against humanity that were committed by withholding, say, free energy technology or anything else. They've got to be able to avoid that accountability. At the same time, we're not going to be able to keep denying this. We're going to have it at some point. The fact that we are not the only intelligent beings in the universe, if you think we are intelligent, is going to be something that we have to collectively accept. And so it's an interesting dance to have to walk. And accidental truth kind of gives them very little room to breathe anymore. There was a gap in between what they're saying and crossing the line into admitting that there's another intelligent life form. And I tried to suck all the air out of the room. It's like, where are you going now? You know, here's the evidence. Let's start having a serious conversation.
So I wanted to ask you about the reaction of the film. I think, you know, anyone interested in the UFO topic will probably want to see it. Have you exposed this to non-UFO fans, and what do they make of it?
I'm not trying to toot my own horn, and I'm not going to, if I say this, all I'm going to do is get more people that just want to be mean and go leave one-star rankings, which there was a couple people that did that. Whoever you are out there that went and got some of your friends to give Accidental Truth 6 one-star ratings a week before it even came out, shame on you. And there's a couple of haters out there that have decided just to bash it. But the public, because Matthew Modine is a mainstream actor, people that are not in the field are watching the film. And I created this film to be a primer for just about anybody. The UFO community will say, oh, I already knew a lot of this, but there's going to be things, I promise, in there that you did not know, no matter how much of an expert you think you are. But I also wanted to make a film that if you do nothing about the topic and you're willing to sit down and pay attention to the 90 minutes, you're going to walk away with a pretty good understanding. And so the reaction from the mainstream population has been very, very positive. And I'm always asked, you know, what's a book I could read or a film I could see that would bring me up to speed on this? And James Fox did a great job with The Phenomenon, and I've done something with this, but this is one of those films that addresses that need. It's a self-contained story that goes all the way back to pre-Roswell and documents the deception, the discoveries, stays away from making claims we can't back up with at least some sort of evidence that comes directly from the government or people who work for the government.
We've got much more to talk about with Ron and Kurt and Jean, so you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So I'm going to ask you a question, and we'll pursue some of this on After the Paracast later, perhaps in more detail. All this stuff is coming out now, and we're seeing the front of possible gradual disclosure. At the same time, they're saying, well, we have no evidence there's spaceships, we have no evidence what's the whole mantra there? No evidence that this is someone else's technology. No evidence it's our technology. It's just out there, you know. They won't really want to figure it out. But they always say, first of all, no evidence of ET. No evidence of ET. And maybe there isn't any. Maybe it is something different, something we wouldn't understand. But we all have the scenarios in mind from sci-fi and everything about the possible revelation of ET's presence. But what if it had nothing whatever to do with that? From time travelers, and I won't put interdimensional travelers in there because they're still, it's almost the same thing in terms of being from outer space, just from another place.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was something else, Carl Jung's collective unconscious, something else, how the heck would the government get a handle of it?
Well, I mean, the government's only going to be able to get a handle on something to the extent that humans and technology and perceptions of reality that are accepted can get a handle on it. I think, and you know, I point out in the movie, I think there's a lot of different things that we're seeing here. The ET hypothesis is a good, as Colonel Alexander said, and he would know, it's a good place to start, but it doesn't answer all the questions. The truth behind this is going to be way more than we know. And, you know, like I said earlier, I don't think we're not even at the point where we can ask the right questions yet. So the thing about, well, we have no evidence that they're ET. Well, Alexander states in the film that craft doing the same exact things were being witnessed and documented 40, 50 years ago. And we know that they were documented even before that. So the idea that it's some kind of technology that's human, like Russian or China or top secret stuff that the Navy has, all of that would be possible, except for the fact that 50 years ago, it wouldn't have been possible, that those things were still around. So the idea that they're made by our humans, you know, who knows, there could be other humans on the planet that we don't know that are way more advanced. It's all kinds of theories. But the point is that if they're not ours, then whose are they? And that's where everybody stops. Everybody stops. They're not going to say they're extraterrestrial, but, you know, like Gary Nolan says in the film, they've said everything but. They've stopped short of saying it, but they're saying the fact that they're not saying it, but they've said all these other things, there's not much left. There's absolutely nothing left. So, you know, there we go. I would say, you know, non-human intelligence, absolutely for sure, in some of this. Rather, they are, I guess, they see, even non-human intelligence doesn't work, because if there's breakaway societies or if there's another human race that, you know, maybe there was civilizations on this planet that went underground and they're still humans, but they're not us, it's a big basket. But at the end of the day, the admission that they're not ours, they're not any foreign adversary, then they are something. They are an unacknowledged advanced intelligence, which is a phrase that I came up with to kind of make sure that you don't exclude any potentials.
Now, when you talk about the government or what the government says, we look at this as a front-facing government where we know who the head of CIA is, the president of the United States, although some might argue about that, the particular member of Congress, all the people that we deal with when we call someone in the government for help with Social Security matters or something like that, the front-facing government that we all know. And other countries have that same equivalent. But there are implications here that there's another level of authority beneath or behind all that that we don't readily access. What is your take on that?
You know, it's not that much of a stretch. And as it applies to the UFO thing, it's really a lot simpler than it sounds. And it doesn't have to be so conspiratorial or nefarious. It's just logic. At some point, these groups were formed. They were given basically unlimited budget and accountability to say they were formed during Eisenhower or Roosevelt. And they had accountability. They directly reported to the president or key people inside the Pentagon. So this was a small group even in the beginning. And the further they get away from accountability and the more they're funded and the more stuff gets buried inside industry and the more it gets split out among different stovepipes and compartments, you know, the more it gets diluted. And, you know, you get to a point where there's who is there left that knows everything. And so that's kind of what we're dealing with is that most of it's been, in my opinion, has been put into cooperation with industry, which makes it so that they don't have to be accountable for Freedom of Information Act requests. And so there's nothing nefarious or mysterious about it. It's just that the group that was managing this didn't really have to be accountable, and over time the group has diluted, and things are going on that there's probably very few hands that know what the other does. In other words, it's not some kind of organized thing anymore where there's one guy or one little department sitting at the top that knows everything. That might very well not exist anymore. Or maybe it does, but it would be a super, super small group.
Well, the thing, of course, you worry about is generation after generation, 50 years, mm-hmm. 100 years. If anyone knew some piece of information way back when, as it goes from generation to generation, something is distilled. It's like you tell the joke to one person who repeats it to the next five people, and after that, the fifth person recites the joke. It has nothing to do with the original story.
And well, it's just like the Blue Room. You know, it's like we finally found a record that there was film of the supposed Blue Room, but it was destroyed. Now, there's some people who would say, well, no, they wouldn't really destroy that. It'd be in some big vault like Raiders of the Lost Ark. But what I've seen is that these guys have absolutely no problem destroying evidence forever. And so destroying film of the Blue Room, it's like, who would possibly do that? But somebody might have. And you know what? That's gone forever. And there's probably a lot of stuff like that that's gone forever. You know, a lot of people think that the photos, let's say for a minute that Roswell really happened and it was non-human, that the photos and the debris and all of that stuff are like that they're somewhere. But it's also quite possible that the stuff was destroyed.
We also could use the Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark scenario and just stick it in some kind of warehouse until they are prepared to deal with it, but then you never deal with it because as generation and generation passes, the original people who knew what went on are no longer here. You think about, for example, the contact with the President of the United States. You think Eisenhower, you think Truman, maybe Roosevelt knew something. But then as the generations pass and new president takes over, the original people may not want to talk to the new occupant of the White House because he's there temporarily.
Yeah, that's documented, actually. And, you know, it's like there's also like Eric Davis will tell the story of, yeah, we have recovered craft. We have not been able to reverse engineer them. Other people say it. There's people that say it in the film.
We'll continue. I want to ask you about reverse engineering, too, with Ron, Kurt, and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
USA News Update. A search still on for the man who allegedly killed 5 people at a Texas home after his neighbors asked him to stop shooting his rifle. The White House holding the correspondents' dinner last night, the night not without controversy.
The group called Climate Defiance assembled approximately 75 people as they tried to block the Washington Hilton entrance, protesting what they said were President Biden's broken promises regarding fossil fuel projects. The group used banners, posters, and even a brass band to get attention.
No more Jimmy! No more!
I'm Jerry Barmash.
At least 14 people hospitalized after a roof collapsed in Columbus, Ohio. But it didn't collapse on them. It collapsed under them. Between 15 and 45 people were standing on the roof when they heard a crack and the roof collapsed. Corey Myers, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications, in a variety of formats.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
This is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Speaking of which, this scenario, which kind of dovetails in things you're talking about, Ron James, and that is here, you go back in time 50 years and take your iPhone and say, figure it out. And maybe we'll have a sense of what it does. But without an internet, without a working battery charger, even if you can figure out how to turn the thing on, after a while you won't be able to figure out what to do. If you take it apart, and it's certainly doable, you can take apart an iPhone or an Android phone, they make it as hard as possible for you to do that, but you can do that, and you see all the components, and you've reduced this tiny wafer to a billion transistors, and you're at a point in time where you've just got one big one, which is almost as big as all billion transistors. How do you figure that out? Now take technology where they've perfected interstellar travel, whether it's warp drive, whatever. And I don't think it's going to be hundreds of years from now that we have that. So we can go into that discussion. But consider technology 500, 1,000 years ahead of us. How could we reverse engineer anything?
Well, that's what they say, is, you know, people that claim to have seen these craft or whatever will say that these things are sitting someplace, possibly Area 51, S4, you know, wherever, and that every few years they'll come in, they'll try to figure it out, and they run into brick walls, and then they put it aside. And then, you know, a little while later, somebody else will take a stab at it. But we've been able to reverse engineer very little, especially about propulsion systems and stuff. But, you know, things like, you know, some of the technology that's come out of Lockheed, Raytheon, there's evidence that some of that stuff that we have been able to reverse engineer stuff, at least like materials and things like that. But as far as engineering power supplies and propulsion systems, supposedly that has not been achieved. But, you know, then maybe it was, and we're just, even the people who should know don't.
So how would you handle it here? You have the spaceship at Hangar 18, wherever it is, expanded blue room. What do you do every 10 years or 5 years? You bring in scientists and say, okay, let's try to figure this out. And they say, you know what? I can't figure it out. Let's put it away for another 5 or 10 years. But eventually, it gets forgotten.
Yeah. It's exactly what happens. And although they say that it you can't really forget the elephant in the room, so obviously the thing's sitting somewhere, there's going to be somebody who doesn't forget it because it's there. But at the end of the day, there seems to be a lot of evidence that coming from people who have had a shot at this stuff. I was told off camera by one of the people in the film that they were promised access to a craft, but they didn't. They ended up not getting it. And I've heard that story a few times from different people. So, yeah, there's something somewhere that they're trying to figure out. And, you know, at some point, like Lou had told me that they've pretty much figured out how these things work, you know, how you can get across galaxies, how you can create the movement, but they just don't know how to do it. It's like, well, they're doing this, and this with bending the rules of physics and creating fields and blah, 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 blah. We kind of get how it's happening, but we have no idea how to actually do it.
There's similar theories about the way space and time operates and things that are light years away that are taken as pretty much accepted science that are really just theoretical, you know, things we can't see or touch. So, you know, these other theories, you know, maybe they're equally valid, but, you know, until the technology or the science progresses, you know, it's almost as substantial as a dream.
Yeah, well, you know, when it comes time to start unraveling what is our reality, the rabbit hole gets pretty deep. The, stimulation theory is starting to gain a lot of traction. And if our reality is basically, you know, some kind of simulation, which even by the most basic agreements in science, you could argue that it is, then anything's possible. And so what's the point in arguing whether it's a gray alien from Zeta Reticuli or it's an interdimensional being coming to us through a portal? It doesn't matter. Because if the whole thing is a program, then anything is possible because you can write it into the program. And I think if anything, what we're studying and what we're seeing in all of these different phenomena are just teaching us things about the nature of our reality that are here to make us puzzle it out and think it through. It's like, what is actually going on? And what is it teaching us about where we are and who we are and what we are? There's a lot to be gained from these clues that are being left.
What was the phrase Ray Palmer said this 50 years ago? Flying saucers are here to make us think.
Yeah, see, I think that could be, certainly a part of it. Crop circles, I mean, what other purpose?
Well, certainly any UFO sighting where you see it land and you see these supposed creatures come out of it, that gets to be doing a lot of thinking.
Yeah, that's a good point. But, you know, also being in your room and seeing a big blob of light pop up and then all of a sudden something appears. And then the next thing you know, you're in strange surroundings. And then the next thing you know, you're waking up in your bed with sores. That's kind of weird, too.
I don't know if we've got time for this, but I wanted to ask Ron, so what do you think about the language the government is using to describe, you know, the UAP term, which has now changed yet again?
Well, it's interesting because they're changing language, they're changing acronyms, and all of it is just basically evading the same question. So, you know, at some point, look how many offices have been set up and then set aside since the 2017. There's the UAP Task Force. Now there's there's just a bunch of them. I don't even have them all memorized. And all they're doing is juggling around and creating compartments so that they can all sit around and say, well, we don't know what that is. Oh, that's not in our purview. Oh, we haven't looked at that. It's hard to watch.
It doesn't make sense to call this Pentagon UFO UAP group another name. Every couple of years, it's this name, it's AARO now. which is reminiscent of APRO, a UFO organization that existed decades ago. So what will they call it next year?
Yeah, that's the whole point. And, you know, it's like, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier in the interview. It's been a long show. But, you know, now we have NASA raising their hand. Oh, yeah, we're going to look at that stuff. Wow. Excuse me?
Yeah, and the purpose of their distinct mission is not that clear to me. But on that terminology, so what really threw me was going from unidentified aerial phenomena to unidentified anomalous phenomena. You've got two words that mean weird. What is that?
Well, it's all domain now because what they're finding is that these things are able to traverse land, sea, and air as if none of them represented a different type of environment. So something can blast out of the ocean at Mach whatever, fly through the air and into space. And so it's all domain anomalies now because it's not just UAP, unidentified aerial phenomenon, because it's beyond aerial at this point. It's spatial and it's aquatic.
I guess they're trying to cover all their bases, but it does make it confusing with the name changes.
Well, the thing that is even worse is that it's not just name changes. It's personnel changes. It's budgetary changes. It's classification changes. Each time you redefine one of these groups, it's starting over again. And so the UAP task force, okay, those guys were operating for quite a while. What exactly did they accomplish? And now we have this new guy. He's a very, I can't remember his name, that was testifying at the last hearing. This is a very esteemed scientist, but it doesn't seem to me like anybody's read him in.
That's Dr. Kirkpatrick.
Right.
PhD in physics or something like that. We're going to continue with Ron James and Kurt Collins and Gene Steinberg in our next section, which is the final section of the main show, at least. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. and I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
And by the way, neighbors, Ron James is having such a great time, he tells me. We forced him to say that he's going to hang out for the After the Paracast podcast, available to subscribers of the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus for more info. Let's continue, Ron. And I'm going to ask you kind of an end-all question, which is, we have the musical chairs in the Pentagon. We have a public that doesn't believe the government, or maybe will believe the government. Even if there was disclosure, who would believe it? I think of the scene I talk about. President Biden comes out and says, okay, we are being visited by beings from another planet, and maybe he brings out somebody. And then, 60% of Republicans will say, what's he talking about? He's not even president. I mean, think about that. I thought the same in the years of President Obama. Even with Trump, we have a society now where we don't accept basic facts as facts. So how do you even convey a disclosure on that basis?
Well, you know, especially when we now have the technology and the capability of creating a false flag, you know, there's a lot of people that still think Project Bluebeam is going to be a thing. I don't know if I agree with that. I think it'd be hard to pull off. But, you know, creating the threat narrative about the ETs, creating the fake invasion to justify more weapons in space, blah, 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 maybe. You know, right now, if they were going to come out and do an official disclosure, you're right. The president standing there saying it would not be enough. The reporters would have to have access to the stuff. All kinds of independent people would have to come in and have access to being able to study any of the physical evidence, and it would have to be all laid out. That's going to be a problem. It goes against their new narrative. They can't do that and still keep the story that for 50 years there was no official interest in the topic. So these guys are really in a bind. I'm curious how they're going to get out of it. But bringing in guys like this to run this new group, who clearly is, I don't think he's been read into anything. I mean, literally nothing. It's almost like they set this guy in this office and said, here's some stuff, look at it, and nobody pulled him aside and said, yeah, you know, there's some truth to some of this, and here's what it is. This guy is starting from scratch. Either that or he's just a real deceptive person, which I do not get. I think he's got too much of a good reputation as a dedicated scientist. But he clearly has no clue about the real truth about what's been going on.
I wonder also about Lou Elizondo, because he walked into this thing with probably no knowledge about UFOs. And he was working at this agency, although you mentioned the controversy over his role and everything. Now he's a civilian. And now he can't tell you all he knows, but how much does he know because of the brief period of time in which he was exposed to it?
I think that when he came into the Bigelow program, he was read into a certain amount of stuff, but, you know, he's telling the new narrative, just like everybody else that came out of TTSA. That's where it was basically incubated. And he's doing his job. And if you were to ask Lou Elizondo if he's actually still working, you might be interested in what he has to say. So he's playing his role in a program. Does he personally want to see this information come out more than it has? And has he made some personal risks? Absolutely he has. But the whole rollout of TTSA, Ralph Blumenthal, when I asked him, he said there's nothing about any of that that was other than coincidence. But I have a hard time with that because obviously the TTSA was being incubated for quite some time. And then Lou handed in his resignation to the Pentagon knowing that he was going to segue into TTSA and knowing that these guys were going to go public and knowing that there was going to be a big cash race. And that's when the story broke. And TTSA was already put together, already waiting in the wings. So a lot of people think that it was an organized rollout by people that want to see the information get out and got certain clearance to divulge certain things. And then also when the election didn't go to the Democrats, the whole idea that Hillary and Podesta and everybody would be supportive of disclosure from the White House, that went out the window. And that gave the people that really didn't want the information out, it gave them a chance to get off their back feet and come up with a strategy to offset this and to fight back. This is what we've been seeing. You know, it's just like in the movie, Richard Dolan calls it The Empire Strikes Back. We're watching a lot of internal stuff that we'll never be privy to unfold in front of us.
Luis Elizondo, is he still working for the government quietly to become part of the program of whatever information they choose to provide us?
That's not something I can definitively answer. And, you know, I like Lou a lot. And even if he is, so what? There's actually nothing wrong with that. Then, you know, there'll be other people that say, well, you know, once you're that deep in intelligence and once you have those kind of clearances and once you're privy to that kind of information and you travel in those kind of circles, you're never not working. Never.
So long and short here is he may still be a spook, but we have no idea.
In the film, we point that out. We say Lou knows what he can say and he knows what he can't say. And so obviously somebody's telling him what those things are and where you can go and where you can't go. And in Accidental Truth, we get him pretty much as far as he can go, more than I think anybody's ever seen.
Now, one of your guests during the course of the interviews takes off his lavalier microphone and gets up and leaves. What was that about?
Well, the interview was over. It wasn't anything bad. In fact, I was at his office 2 months ago to tell him about the release of the film, and you know, we sat down and talked about it. So he was not upset. It was just that the interview was over, and it was kind of cool actually that he did that. But it wasn't because I pissed him off. Although there are people in the film who I did piss off, but he wasn't one of them.
Which ones got upset? And you hinted at this earlier.
I don't want to name names, and the reason for that is because, you know, a lot of people told me a lot of things, and then a lot of people didn't mean to tell me a lot of things, and my goal in making the film was that these people would still talk to me after it was done, and for the most part, that has been the case. I managed to make a film about the biggest deception in human history, being with some of the people that are part of it being featured without calling anybody a liar and without denigrating a certain person or making anybody a villain. And so that was a fine line to walk. And frankly, I'm still walking it and I'm just going to leave it at that.
So is there going to be an Accidental Truth number two?
I think I'm going to call it Accidentally on Purpose.
Oh, boy. Hey, where can our listeners find more of the work you do and get more information about the film?
Well, the film's available on all the places where you would rent a film: Amazon, iTunes, Google, Apple TV. It's available on Vimeo. It's available, you know, just all those places, Redbox. the official website for the film, like if you want to buy a T-shirt or something and that isn't bootlegged, you can go to Accidental Truths with an S, accidentaltruths.com, and from there you can learn more about the film and you can springboard on to getting it, or you can just go to your Amazon or your wherever you see movies on your smart TV, and it's everywhere. Right now it's number 3 on documentaries on iTunes, which is pretty cool.
Kirk Collins, where can we find your material?
I've got the site Blue Blurry Lines and also a blog called The Saucers That Time Forgot, specializing in UFO history of the weird.
Speaking of weird, you can find us on Twitter. Well, Twitter lasts, and we never know anymore. You can find us on Facebook. We have a fan club and then some kind of group, and one day or another we'll figure out more of it. You can also buy branded merchandise for the show from the Paracast.shop, or if you prefer, the Paracast.store, and we have 4 different logos to choose from. Pick the ones you want. You can get the T-shirt in whatever size you want in each of the 4 logos. We also offer the Paracast Plus at the Paracast.plus, where we give you this show free of the network ads with better quality audio. So I sound the same, but people like Ron James and Kurt Collins sound much, much better. And free of the network ads, as I say, you can also get the After the Paracast podcast. That package that includes things that we can't allow on traditional radio. How about that? Go to the Paracast.plus. We will give you a 20% discount on 5-year and lifetime subscriptions if you use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, the Paracast.plus. Ron James, old friend, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thanks, Gene. It wasn't as lambasting as I thought it might be, but you know, you and I have done a lot of good interviews together, and you've always been fair.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNLive.com.